I'm friends with the monster.
Oh, he's a monster.
I'm sitting there tweeting.
Monster.
Big, big, big tweeting.
I love you. It's a guy, but I love you.
You know, we're fairly smart. At least we think we are. But we're confused this morning. What did Mayor Rudy Giuliani mean as Trump's attorney last night on Sean Hannity? Because Hannity looked like he'd seen a ghost. All right, Super Joe, before we grab Chuck here, I want to just have the audience be able to hear the two pieces of audio. The first is tough to hear because it's Trump on Air Force One about a month ago. And the question is, did you know about the money paid to Stormy Daniels? Here's that.
Why did Michael Cohen make this?
Michael's my attorney, and you'll have to ask Michael. He says, I don't know when asked about the money. All right, so let's stay with that. I don't know where the money came from. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't have an affair. Fast forward to last night. Sean Hannity sitting down with Trump on what obviously is Softball City. And Hannity didn't appear to like he saw this coming. Here's the mayor.
The president, but do you know the president didn't know about this? I believe that's what
he didn't
Michael
know about
said.
The specifics of it, as far as I know. But he did know about the general arrangement that Michael would take care of things like this, like I take care of things like this for my clients.
He didn't know about the specifics, but he did know about it, which now, according to Pat Brady, does what to Rudy Giuliani?
Well, potentially, you can make himself a witness in the case, which means he can't be his lawyer.
That's a hot mess of epic proportions. It's Chuck Todd, Meet the Press, 1947, the podcast, and MTP Daily joins us. I had a whole list of stuff I was going to talk to you about, Chuck, but I'm wondering what happened on Hannity.
Boy, imagine if Rudy Giuliani had sat down with an interview with somebody who was trying to extract information.
Exactly.
Look, I think Rudy makes his debut as the president's lawyer and makes two giant unforced errors. This is one. Essentially admitting to an arrangement that if the federal government wanted to prosecute a case, they could. Okay, they could. For a pretty blatant campaign finance violation, this payment to Stormy Daniels happened October 27th, day before the Comey letter comes. I mean, you know, you could make all sorts of it. This absolutely had a direct impact on the election. Now, if they've got a bunch of other, you know, the federal government isn't going to prioritize something like this over and above maybe everything else they're looking at. I mean, I think at the end of the day, compared to what they're looking at, this is a speeding ticket violation. But I think the bigger mistake Rudy made last night with Hannity was creating this new rationale for why the president fired Comey. Because I don't think he helped the president. I think he made it worse. He said one of the reasons he fired him was that Comey wouldn't assure him he wasn't a target of the investigation.
Yeah, and he deserves
so,
that. That was the extension.
Okay.
He deserves that.
What he is a subject of the investigation. So are you saying Comey was supposed to? So what I want to go to. So Rudy Giuliani. So if Comey had said, no, you're not a target, Mr. President, but you're a subject. Yeah, I'm sure that would have gone over well. Okay. But number two, this idea that was the whole reason why Comey couldn't tell him, because if somebody's a subject, they could become a target. And as Comey writes in his memos, if I say this now, you don't want to have to me change things later, which was, to me, a giant hint of saying, I worry I may have to change things later.
And the tweet this morning deals more directly with the first piece of this and seems to indicate that no. Mr. Cohen was paid a retainer of $35,000 a month, and the money that was paid to Stormy Daniels came out of that retainer, and everybody knew what was going on.
Well, that was a quick, like, that was something they thought up overnight.
Yeah, and if that's the closest they could get to an explanation for what happened, Prosecutor Pat Brady, let me put your old shoes on here. What do you read of this?
Well, I agree with Chuck. I think it's a speed bump in what they're really looking at. But I'm interested, Chuck, on how you see all this tying up with the questions that were submitted, or at least we've learned about this week in the New York Times, particularly as it relates to Comey's state of mind and his conversations with Trump and how this kind of all ties together.
Well, look, I'm pretty convinced now that Ty Cobb resigned yesterday, or fired, however you want to look at it, the president's in-house lawyer that was handling the investigation inside the White House. I think it's now pretty obvious that the leak of the questions was designed essentially to push back on the strategy that Cobb, to basically say, see, Ty Cobb, this was a mistake. But it's more to the president. See, this was a mistake. Cobb and Dowd were leading you down a trap. I am now more convinced than ever this came from the president, because you now see some of the stories and even the way the president, the way Giuliani talked about the questions. This was designed for them to reconfigure their strategy against Mueller. And I think we now see they've assembled a political team now to go after Mueller, not a legal team. They're preparing for a political fight. And you know what? They're probably smart to be preparing more for a political fight, because this you know, Mueller's going to have what he has, and then unpacking what Mueller has is not going to be a legal fight. It's going to be a political fight.
Did you the questions, though, the way they asked them, particularly towards the obstruction, if you timelined it out and looked at the way they laid them out, it's a fairly compelling case. And I agree it's going to be political, but it seems to be, and they don't even mention what Flynn's telling them.
Right. And you know, here's my thing on obstruction, and I actually always caution my own reporters who want to focus so much on obstruction. The obstruction case is only as strong as the actual case, right? I mean, meaning I think it's easier, you know, it is easier to make the case that the president obstructed justice if the central finding, if there indeed is a conspiracy that is found, right? Then it's easier to make the case on the obstruction. I know that legally you can obstruct justice even if a crime wasn't proven to be committed. But
right.
I do believe that the only reason why we all focus so much on the obstruction part of this is that it's the stuff that's in the public domain. It's the easiest stuff for us to report. I think the more central part of Mueller's investigation is the part we know less about.
But there's a two-front war here going on. The political side is, there's a Democratic run in November, and then an impeachment could be on. So that, to me, would be your ultimate political front. And the legal front is Donald Trump doesn't want to go to jail. So those are the worst-case scenarios in both, but they're both on the table.
Oh, yeah. Look, I think this is almost all a political fight. I mean, I think. But it really will depend on. I am under the assumption of a couple things. And everything I've learned about Mueller, everything I've learned about how he works, according to people that work for him, is a couple things. Mueller doesn't fish, meaning he didn't raid Michael Cohen's office because he was looking, because he was hoping to find something. He raided it because he already found it. Right. That's one. Two. If there wasn't a case, he'd be wrapping things up. He isn't Javert, okay, of Les Mis, all right? He isn't just going to just go until he finds something or anything to get on him.
Right.
So I think the power of what Mueller delivers and what he says he finds and the power of that will tell us how hard this political fight will be. I don't think it's going to ever be a legal fight. I actually always believe when it comes to the president, it will be a political fight.
Is there, that being said, and I agree with you, is there any piece of evidence, if there was a smoking gun that definitively tied the president's campaign or the president to a conspiracy to rig the election, would that take it into legal, or you still think it's political?
I think it's legal for everybody else except the president, right? Don't forget, one of the reasons why Mueller has said the only reason why the president is not a target of this investigation, maybe, we don't know for sure, is that, and I had Comey reinforce this fact to me on air on Sunday, which is they are operating, current law operates under the assumption that a sitting president can't be indicted, and therefore a sitting president can't be a target of an investigation. So that's why I think all the legal problems are in everybody else's court. I think with the president, it's almost exclusively more of a political problem at the end of the day.
This past 48 hours, to me, sums up everything we know about Donald Trump. His past comes back to haunt him. His present haunts him currently. The crazy doctor doesn't appear to be the crazy one now. Trump's a former bodyguard and some other mysterious lawyer break in, take a bunch of records, maybe look at other people's records. The doctor then says Trump actually dictates the letter about his fabulous, extraordinarily great health. That's the past coming back to haunt him. And now this. That's 48 hours being generous. That's more like 36 hours. And that's what the news cycle is every friggin' day.
But, you know, don't assume that Trump is somehow, like,
healthy
about all this.
Oh, no,
feeling the pro. I'm not going to get into that. I think that we don't know anything about the president's health. We know nothing about the president's health. And there's nothing you can convince me that either one of these doctors, now that we've learned what we've learned, I'm sorry. He's 72. He's overweight. It's obvious he's got some issues, and neither one of his doctors have ever shared any of that
right.
honestly with us. But okay, but let's set that aside. I do believe, as far as the president's concerned, he isn't, he's going to lash out and all this stuff, but he's lived like this for 40 years. He has, he's Houdini. Every time you think, every time people think they got him, or you think, oh boy, that's going to take his business down, or that's going to take his presence down, or that's going to take him down, he has always survived, right? So this is why, in some ways, he's not as rattled as anybody else would be, because he's lived his whole life sort of one step, sort of with one foot hanging over the cliff. And he's always just walked along the edge of the cliff.
He's a human alibi. He's an alibi with feet.
I'll tell you this. He's never faced an investigator like Bob Mueller. Everybody else always tires of Trump, meaning they figure, it's not worth the hassle. It's not worth this. I'll get 10 cents on the dollar. Everybody always just like, but he's president now, and Mueller ain't going to give him 10 cents on the dollar.
And that's the exact point. The point is, we all make this about Trump because he is the white hot fool in the middle of the whole thing. But make it about you. Shouldn't you expect a little more from the president of the United States than what you're getting, than what you're seeing every single day? Isn't it fair to expect, as a citizen of this country, that the president of the United States could do his job without these fires burning in every corner? Make it about you. What do you want? What do you need? Ugh. Hey, Chuck, good talk.
Okay, guys.
All right, man. I'll see you.
I never thought Illinois politics would seem less corrupt than the federal government these days.
Yeah, Mike Madigan's going, good job, Trump. Keep the heat off me.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's our friend Chuck Todd. Meet the Press, the podcast, 1947, and MTP Daily.